Axel, what brings you to the workshop here today for Rampart Avenir's new community?
Well, it builds on the work that we have been doing at AITF for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, where we are looking at communities of the future. How will people in the future live or want to live? And we've been preoccupied with trying to answer that question in the context of the next 20, 30 years. Now, Rampart Avenir is trying to build a community within the next few years, but they came to us and we started some work with them, looking at the longer term prospects of this community that would be started in the next 2 or 3 years. And we're trying to see to what extent our thoughts, our ideas, our considerations are shaping their planning and their thinking.
Now, I understand that one of the topics that's being focused on today has to do with data and setting up whatever it is that you have to do in order to collect data in a new community. What really does all of that mean?
Well, the aspect of data basically means receiving data from elsewhere. We now speak about data when we talk about television signals, we talk about data when we talk about radio signals. In the old days, we didn't think about this in that way because it wasn't digital. Television wasn't broadcasting in a digital way. Even today, it isn't always doing that. Telephone, of course, is now provided in digital form, so that's all data. So one's ability to receive data at very, very low costs, at very high rates, so that you can watch not only programs on television, but you can watch your grandson on the other side of the world by means of your laptop computer. It's just one indication of how readily data is available from elsewhere and how we can receive it wherever we live or wherever we work. And the opposite is also true. That is, if, for example, if you are a patient or if you're an elderly person, you have some health problems, you can now link up your body to some sensors, to some transmitters, so that your physician, your healthcare provider, or your grandson can see what you're doing or what you're not doing. So data is going to be available in an almost ubiquitous way, and at a very reasonable cost. And the question then is, what can you do with all of this data other than the kind of examples that I've explained to you? Probably the more profound examples are it will enable you to work differently, and it certainly will enable you to do many work tasks from home. I mean, many of us already have a home office, and we do our what used to be paperwork, we now do it on the computer from home. But in the future, you'd be able to do designs, you'd be able to do market analyses, you'd be able to do health analyses. And if you're a professional in one of those areas, if you didn't want to, you didn't actually have to leave your home for doing that type of work. Now, you still want to interact with your peer professionals, you still want to interact with people, but you wouldn't have to do it in exactly the same way in which you did it in the past. And furthermore, you can interact with people over very long distances and over many time zones in a manner that wasn't really possible. So, for example, a healthcare provider in the future could look after the healthcare of somebody in Europe or in China, even though the person lives in St. Albert. So that's what data enables you to do in a very unprecedented way. And we're only at the beginning of really understanding how we can make good use of it.
What is some of the groundwork that has to be laid in order to incorporate this into this new community?
Well, to respond to you literally, you have to dig some trenches into the ground, and typically you would put some fiber optic cable into the ground. In a new community, you dig trenches in any event because there's a water supply, there's a wastewater disposal system, you have electrical power coming in, you probably have natural gas coming in. So if you lay one other conduit, which has a data cable or a coaxial cable, it's really very, very straightforward. Now, that's the simple part that gets you to the home, if we just think about the home for the moment. But then you have to connect to it, and you would no doubt want to do more than just connect your television and your radio and maybe your laptop computer. As I said, you might want to connect some sensors that let you look after your grandparent who may not be well, or you might want to connect to your children if they permit you to do that. But if you also use your home as your workplace, which is increasingly the case, then you would want to connect to your friends and to your colleagues and to your customers who are far away. I think an interesting other aspect is a much more personalized entertainment than what we see. Today, we're still by and large confined to television programs and channels, and even though they might number in the hundreds, they're by categories not all that many. But if you're really interested in just the arts and you wanted to be able to see a performance of La Scala, or if you wanted to see something out of Stratford, Ontario, from the Shakespeare Festival, I can't see why in future that wouldn't all be available, and you buy your ticket and you watch it from your home or from your workplace in a manner that we typically don't do. So data really breaks the bond between yourself and geography, or wherever you want to be, in a way that we haven't been able to do in the past.
Well, once this infrastructure is laid down, does it also play a part in being able to help with the running of the community? I'm thinking of things like energy conservation, or how you deal with, say, the running of traffic.
Yes, potentially that certainly is possible. You can have what are often referred to as smart energy systems. So for example, your washer and dryer doesn't run during the daytime when everybody else is running their machinery. It runs at night. It can certainly help with traffic flows and controls. It can't change the weather, so we're still subject to that, but it might attune whatever you do to whatever the weather predictions are. I think it will have an important impact on safety. I mean, certainly warnings of disasters would be easy to foreshadow, but also traffic volumes, accidents, all that sort of thing you'd be able to do. It might even enable you to do some clever things in the house that are very difficult. And from time to time, we have leaks in the roof and nobody knows where the leak is. So if you had the right sensors in the right places, you'd be able to tell exactly where the leak is, and then you just patch it there. So supervising the way the house functions, or maybe your car functions, or your lawnmower, or you know, whatever it is, will be possible for you to do. I think in many respects these things are today seen as peripheral. I mean, maybe kind of nice to do, but who really needs them? And I think that's the way most technology started. I think when the telephone was first invented and made available, people said, why do I need a telephone? I can just send a letter, right? And today we wouldn't do without a telephone. So I think at a similar stage of trying to understand what the potential of this database technology is. And right now we're just applying it to all the things that we find inconvenient, you know, whether that's electricity or water management or how our toilets run and matters of this kind. But I think we'll discover new ways of utilizing that information, new ways of interacting with people and with our hobbies in a way that we don't really quite know yet. So an interesting question for us is, you know, if you have all this data available, will our houses actually look different in the future? Yes, you know, we have the toaster that is automatically controlled by the computer, but will we still have a toaster? Will it still look like that? Or will we have something different? And that's, I think, where the stretch of the imagination starts to arise. I mean, maybe we can have an oven that serves as a barbecue, an oven as a toaster, and you know, all in one, because through software you can change its functionality in a way that you couldn't otherwise do. Now, there are technical problems with it, but human imagination probably will overcome that.
Some of these technologies, are they already being used in other applications?
Many technologies are being used. A good example is if you think about the space station, lots of these technologies are being applied there. You know, you completely recycle water, you recycle air, You generate energy from the sun rays. You communicate instantaneously with the ground station. But, of course, very few of us are in that particular location. There are quite a lot of experimental buildings, notably in Europe and in Japan, that explore the kind of limits of that technology. In Canada, less so, but I think this very meeting here, in a sense, raises the consciousness in Canada for doing that. I'm very interested in the application of these kinds of technologies in Canada's north, for example, where we have rather extreme conditions, not only of temperatures, but also of daylight conditions, where everything is more scarce, and where we have to be much more adept at adjusting to the environment. And I think digital technologies can certainly help. How exactly remains to be seen, but that's what the exploration is about.
Thank you very much, Axel.
You're very welcome. Nice talking to you.